It is time for Conversations with the Mayors, brought to us by the members of the Chamber for a Greater Chapel Hill Carrboro. They're encouraging you to put down your mouse and get out of the house. Local businesses invite you to mask up, buy local, and engage in safe commerce. Visit carolinachamber.org to learn more about the Chamber and Chamber membership today. I am joined on the phone, as I am all Thursdays, by Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger. Pam, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and it is so pretty outside. We need some more of this kind of weather.
Absolutely. So, anything going on in the past few days? Any sort of like big news from?
It's been relatively quiet.
We have got so much that we can talk about, and I think it makes sense to start with Governor Roy Cooper's announcement yesterday of easing some of the capacity restrictions, capacity COVID-19 guidelines that the state had in place, and that was also adopted here in Orange County. Off the bat, Pam, how do you think that these changes, some of which are easing some of the restrictions that have been in place since March, are going to affect our Chapel Hill community?
So I'm happy for the business community that we're starting to ease up to give them some room to finally come back a little bit. I'm still worried, though. Heard from UNC Health today again about how they think it's just a bit too soon to do some of these things, that we're so close. We're getting so many more people vaccinated, and if we waited just one more month, we'd have even more. But I understand. People are pent up. Businesses are suffering, and we are getting the vaccine out there. There's been some things that'll be interesting to incorporate, and then there's been other things that I think people are trying to find safe ways to do this. But our positivity rates in Chapel Hill and Orange County in general are relatively low because we have great compliance, and as long as people continue to wear their masks and stay 6 feet apart and wash their hands, I think we're going to be good. It's just going to be interesting to see. The proof is always 10 to 14 days after these kinds of things happen. So we're hopeful that people will continue to use caution and respect the right for everyone to stay healthy.
Yeah, and speaking with Orange County Commissioner Renee Price yesterday right after that news, she said the same thing that you and Governor Roy Cooper have said. We're certainly not out of the woods. We still need to follow a lot of public health guidelines that are in place in terms of masking and social distancing. Orange County was largely on top of that as the town leaders and county leaders put heads together in the middle of the pandemic and said, okay, we're going to enforce a mask restriction a little bit earlier than the state did. And there were a couple of other things that the leaders have taken to address the pandemic differently from the state. Are the Orange County leaders at the moment having discussions to stick with the state guidance?
At the moment, we're meeting on Tuesday morning again. We want to take a look at the differences here of what we've been doing. Like I said, we have relatively low rates, so we have positivity rates, and that's been the indicator. We've used that and hospitalizations to be our guideposts as to how well we were doing and how we could lift restrictions or impose, you know, stronger ones at this point. So we'll be talking about that on Tuesday morning. We've been in conversation, but not all together. We said we'd do the check-in when we have our MAC meeting as well. Like I said, our community's been doing really, really well. I think people who are feeling concerned probably aren't going to be the ones going to the bars and places that are now open, but we'll see. But, you know, these businesses also have been struggling, and they've been putting safety practices in place to help make patrons feel like it is a safe place. And with the weather getting better, the ability to be outside where we know this virus doesn't spread as quickly is an option for people and at the right time here.
We're speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, and that was some of the news from yesterday, but the Chapel Hill Town Council also met overnight, which is probably some of what you were mentioning, why all of the leaders are certainly busy and Chapel Hill is in the middle of that. What were some of the big agenda items at that meeting?
So we had a long meeting. It was really good. We started off with a COVID Remembrance Day, and next Wednesday, March 3rd, marks the 1 year since North Carolina had the first reported case of COVID, and 11,000 North Carolinians have died in that time. Well, and it's just it's hard to imagine where we were last year at this time, where we are now. We know so much more. We've all been working really, really well together, but we want to join together in a day of remembrance because nationally we've lost some people worldwide. And we're just so grateful to our healthcare systems and all the people working so hard to keep us safe, to learn more. And I want to stress the vaccine part out of that. We didn't talk about this when we talked about the governor's orders. We're really focused on getting people vaccinated. That's what we meet a lot about right now, and how to get more people vaccinated, how to make sure people are getting access to the vaccine equitably, just learning about how the state's delving it, how we know people in our community are going other places to get the vaccine, which is perfectly fine. It just makes it hard, though, and when people don't have those options, to make sure with the low number of doses we're being allocated here because of our population size, to make sure that everyone who wants to get the vaccine can, and to encourage everyone who's in the vulnerable group to get a vaccine. And we talked with our teachers and educators, leaders this weekend. We had a conversation about how to prioritize our teachers and get them access, and all the educators that work with our children, so we can get the schools back open, because that helps everyone. So then we moved on. Now I've just sort of delved off into a different direction. we talked about our criminal justice fund. The committee brought back some suggested changes to help make it more effective, and so we worked on that. But one of the things was to allow funds to be used for outstanding fees in other counties, so that if you live here but you have a fee in another county, we would be able to help you get that fee paid for. And Carrboro is joining us in this effort. We're going to be partners in this criminal justice fund together. Then we had two development projects, 1200 MLK Jr. Boulevard, which is a very challenging situation, just conflicting land use and community goals. It's a very hard decision, where the mobile home park, the gas station, and the self-storage building is on a BRT route. We've had three public hearings on this. It will be continued to March 10th. It'll come back up again. And then we also had South Columbia Annex, which is a condominium project, which is close to the medical campus, right there at the corner of where South Columbia hits the 54 bypass. And a challenging piece of property, but aligning with some other council goals. So we're having those conversations as well. And that will come back on March 24th. We talked about how to get more townhomes in Blue Hill, the Blue Hill District, but overall, the whole town needs that missing middle. We're trying to figure out what we can do to help encourage more townhome development. We talked about parking minimums and what was necessary or not necessary. So that was a great conversation. And we had our first hearing on the budget, which is many opportunities for people to get involved in that. So a big meeting. We're not meeting next week as a council meeting. We will have a council committee on economic sustainability on Friday morning. And then almost every council meeting from here on, even work sessions, people can comment on the budget or send their emails in as we're in the midst of the budget.
Yeah, no doubt that folks are going to be interested in that. And I know that the 1200 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard one is an interesting project, too. To go back to that very quickly, you mentioned that there are kind of conflicting council goals here. Can you expand on that a little bit more when it comes to that proposed development?
So in our land use planning, we know that that's a transit corridor and plan for our bus rapid transit. And you want to have your compact, your density along those corridors. And we worked on our future land use map. And a self-storage building doesn't really comply with that. Neither does a gas station, but the gas station's kind of by right. There was already one there. They're allowed to put one back. And then on the property, we also have 73 families who are living in mobile homes who've been here quite a while and who are integral members of our community. The landowner has said that if they can't do the self-storage, then they will ask kick everyone off the property. That would mean 73 families would be told that they had to leave, and most of their homes aren't transportable. So what does that mean? Where would they go? How could we help them? And council was caught between those two parameters. This is not a good land use plan, yet we want affordable housing. We want people to be able to live in our community. We don't want to push people out. So this balancing act, it was really a struggle, and the decision just felt really, really difficult's not the right word. It's trying to weigh those against each other. What does that mean in the long run for the town? You know, and so you heard comments from council members going either direction. Bad land use planning. We need to help these people transition somewhere. How do we do that? No way to help these people transition. Hate the storage building, but if that's the option, then I'd rather keep the people here. And So it made it hard. And how do you weigh all that with your council values?
Yeah, definitely head to townofchapelhill.org to hear council members' full thoughts on that and get the full context on that project. We're speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger. And on Town of Chapel Hill's website, I know that the town has been doing several projects inspired by Black History Month. Pam, we're into the last week of February here, and I feel like it's been a little while since you and I have talked about some of the town projects. Anything that you want to let folks know about to go check out on the website there?
Yes, go to our library, too. They've got great stories up about Black History Month and all the voices. There's an incredible one about women, African-American women in our community and their stories. We've been trying to highlight different stories of hometown folk who are part of our community and hold them up and shine the light bright. Today, I read a book for the Read Across America that's videoed for next week for the school children, but it was about Elizabeth Cotton and her struggles and her passion to play and that she never gave up. And she was from our community, and she worked really, really hard to follow her passion, which got delayed for a while, but everyone is familiar with her Freight Train song. I mean, it's an amazing story. The book was wonderful, and so just highlighting the people that have contributed to making our community a great place for everyone.
We've got to begin to.
Wegmans opening was the other thing I was going to say.
I was going to say we had to touch on that before we wrapped up. I know that is a big deal for a lot of community members.
It was so exciting. This was one of the first incentive programs Chapel Hill's ever done to bring a good employer to our community. They're rated as one of the top 5 places to work in the nation. Got an early peek the day before the grand opening, and several employees came up to me to tell me that they had lost their job during COVID, but now they had a great job here at Wegmans. There were over 450 jobs created here at the Wegmans, and so that is fabulous. They're also buying produce from local farmers, so there's a lot of great community intertwinedness with this company, and I know other residents are excited to shop there, and it's very pretty inside. They had a lot of things I hadn't seen in some other Wegmans that I've seen across the country. So our economic development officer, Dwight Bassett, deserves a big pat on the back for helping work this through, getting this for us, and our partnership with the county, because we couldn't have done it without them, and this is going to be one of the biggest sales tax producers in our county. And it's just an exciting place and something new for people to come here to shop from other places outside of our community as well as within our community. So it's very exciting.
It certainly is. Not to bring it back to Commissioner Renee Price again, but we mentioned that yesterday. She is so excited because she's from the New York area, and she's like, I grew up going to one. I'm just so excited that it's finally here. And I know that a lot of other community members feel that way. Well, townofchapelhill.org is the website to go to for a lot more when it comes to Town of Chapel Hill. And Mayor Pam Heminger, thanks as always, and we look forward to catching up again next week.
Okay, we'll talk again soon. Thank you.
It is 3:44 here on 97.9 The Hill. Going to step aside, but news around town and your traffic and weather together are coming up next on News on the Hill.